Well, ladies and gents, it's me, Doug Vaughn, here to tell you it's that magical time of the year again. Edges for Pledges at Bertarelli Cutlery. Bring in anything that needs sharpening on April 30th, and all of the proceeds will go to the Backstoppers. I must say, this is a cause I can get behind. Also, a portion of sales in the retail showroom and the Mission Taco food truck will go to this fine charity as well. So what do you say? Get yourself down to Bertarelli Cutlery at 1927 Marconi on the Hill and support the Backstoppers.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Wow, lover boy.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, InsideSTL.com. Blues, Blackhawks tonight, Scott Trade Center. Wow, wow, wow. Corey Hirsch joining us right now to talk it over. Corey, Blues and Blackhawks anytime. It really is, even if it's October. It's exciting. But you talk about playoffs. You talk about Duncan Keith coming back and coming off of that thriller on Wednesday night. And a Friday night now in downtown St. Louis. This is going to be some good stuff. Your thoughts on the Blues and Blackhawks game two?
Well, great game, first of all. I mean, I loved watching it. It sure was exciting. I thought the Blues got away with one. They got outshot almost double, 2-1. But Brian Elliott was spectacular. And then, just throw the puck at the net, something will happen. And that's kind of what David Backes did. And they don't ask how at the end of the series. They just ask how many games you won and if you knock the other team out.
Did the Blackhawks played well. They had opportunities. They couldn't cash in against Elliott, who was out of his mind. Do they change their approach at all, you think, for game two?
I don't think so. I think the Blackhawks continually, they're smart enough that they don't panic. That's why, that's what made them champions and a tough team. They're a tough knockout. So I would expect them to be a little bit different. I think Duncan Keith's back in the lineup tonight, is he not?
Yes.
So they'll... that adds a whole different element on their power play for them. And, the scary thing a little bit with his suspension is now he's rested. So, the Blues are going to have their hands full.
Yeah, you'd say Chicago might not do anything different. What about the Blues? You could make the argument that they got outplayed and still won. Do they try to do something different?
I think so. I thought as much as they tried to punish Chicago with body, I thought it got them running around a little bit. Too much. I thought that they could play a little bit more disciplined, but the Blues didn't play poorly. They played a good game, but they kind of got away with one in the sense of scoring chances of the game. They're going to want to tighten up a little bit.
Ken Hitchcock said after game one that he didn't think they were physical enough and he wanted 70 hits, and then he was asked about it yesterday and he stayed with that. He wants them to play even more physical and try to punish the Blackhawks. Do you think that could be a mistake tactically?
Well, that's the way Hitch has always coached, and he does have a Stanley Cup, so, the man does know what he's doing. But I think at some point, Chicago's pretty resilient. They've been tried to be run out of a rink before. You can also wear your own team down by taking the body a little bit too much, but I still think that the Blues have a big physical team. I think they're doing the right thing by taking the body. They're just going to want to, I think they need to tighten up defensively a little bit.
Yeah, it would seem like it'd be a bad idea for the Blues to get into some wide-open, high-scoring game against the Hawks with all the talented offensive players Chicago has.
Yeah, and you definitely don't want to get into that with Chicago. That's a game that the Blues will lose with a guy like Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and Panarin and high-skilled players like that. So, they're going to need Brian Elliott, and he was up to the task in game one, which is, great. I'm a big believer in Brian Elliott. I've always said I have been, but he does need to prove it in the playoffs, so they are going to need him.
Obviously, as much about goaltending as anyone. Can you kind of put into context what we've seen from Elliott, not only in game one, but down the stretch and when he was called into action after Jake Allen got hurt?
Yeah, the thing about Brian Elliott is that coming over from Ottawa, I mean, this is 5-6 years ago now, and he still carries that tag of not being able to, win the big games. But he's not a kid anymore. He's a man. He's an adult, and people grow and they get better. So you have to give him the opportunity to be able to prove that, you know, that he's mentally strong enough. And goalies do get better as they age.
It's hard to shake that label, though, isn't it? In pro sports, whatever they put a label on you early, it's hard to shake it no matter what you do.
It really is. And it's also unfair, too, because, you know, as people, even we don't stay the same. I mean, I'm not the same person I was when I was 20 years old, thank God. But even later in my career, I was a better goalie than I was when I was younger, but I couldn't get the opportunity because I'd been labeled. So, you know, that's the interesting scenario of something like that. But it happens in all sports. You know, after baseball, you know, guys get labeled as pitchers that can't, you know, get it done when it means something. But, you know, until you do it, it's tough to shake that label.
Crawford was obviously good that goal in overtime was not his fault, obviously. He didn't face the kind of pressure Elliott did, but he played very well. Just a second game back from missing a long stretch because of injury?
Yeah, you know what? He was really good. And, you know, he doesn't get the respect that he deserves. We all know that. But, you know, it was a lucky goal. But that's how playoff hockey is in overtime, right? I mean, that's kind of the National Hockey League playoff goal. That's something that happened. So I would expect him to be just as good tonight.
We make a big deal all the time about home ice. How big of an edge do you think that is for the Blues with a veteran coach like Hitchcock who can juggle the lines a little bit?
Yeah, Hitch is a master bench coach. But the thing is that so is Joel Quenneville. If you don't recall what happened last year in the playoffs with Anaheim, Joel Quenneville kind of schooled Brucey Boudreau, who are both veteran coaches. So don't count Coach Q out. He's pretty savvy himself.
One of the things that Hitch said after game one, a little critical that his guys weren't putting enough pucks on net. And one of the things they, or at least David Backes said after he got the game winner in overtime, that they tried to spread it out more and open up passing lanes, and it worked. Do you think we're going to see the Blues do anything differently in terms of trying to get better looks at the goal?
I think so. I think you'll see them try to, you know, move the puck around a little bit more. If you look at the goal that they actually won, it was the pass back door to Steve, you know, that just kind of went off the coach's or off the defenseman's stick, I believe. So you could see where they were trying to spread out the offense a little bit in that sense.
Corey Hirsch with us. He's on Sportsnet, the former Blues coach here, giving us his perspective on the Blues and Blackhawks. Game two tonight at the Scott Trade Center. Corey, we know you have other things to tend to this morning. Sorry we got to you late. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Corey.
Thank you much.
I believe everybody we've had on has either been banging into a bell like Big Al,
no,
or
busy.
Have a dog situation like caller Ellen and Corey.
Everyone's busy.
What are
the only ones just sitting
like
around?
Like 13 to 14 puppies.
Jimmy Fallon or Stephen Colbert or Jimmy Kimmel, you don't bring your dog with you. I would think that when people are going to be called to be on this show, they're like, okay, I got to button it up here.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think the phone rings and they go, oh, Lord, I forgot about
you
that.
You ever been a guest and you're at home and you're doing a call-in with another show, you know, whatever it may be,
yeah,
and you think, okay, it's quiet, this is a good place, and as mm-hmm. soon as you start talking, that's when your son needs you, or back when we had a dog before he passed, that's when the dog went into a barking fit,
right,
as if you had no care to secure a mm-hmm. quiet location.
I had that thing happen to me once that happened to Tim McCarver here last week, or was it this week, where you're in a hotel room talking on the radio, and then the maid comes and just keeps knocking and keeps knocking
that's
and keeps knocking.
I would lose my crap. On that.
Yeah, I try to ignore it, but they won't go away and won't go
away.
Don't
you have Do Not Disturb on there, baby?
Well, I didn't, baby.
Mm. And that time that Victor wanted to catch up with you and you were on the phone.
Victor didn't come to the room.
Mr. Vaughn.
He was just simply the pool boy and the musical entertainment and the dancer.
Mr. Vaughn, we're having a dance party down by the pool.
Well, they did have some of those. They did have some. And at one point, they had very, very muscle-bound men doing water ballet, doing synchronized water ballet.
And this was a hoot?
Yeah, I wish I'd had my phone with me because I know you would have enjoyed
Doug,
that
here,
video.
This is important. Bubbles just sent in a picture of Fred from the poor part of the nail's wife and Bubbles' girlfriend.
See, this is let not the see, real girlfriend. The,
I've met both of
they're
them.
Not, they're not. And, well, and sure, they exist, but they're not with this other guy. Those women are too attractive.
This lesbianism thing's really catching on. I'm excited for people. I'm excited.
Who's the one that's interested? And who's the one that's fighting it?
The dark-haired one is the aggressor. Okay. That's Fred from the poor part of the nail's wife. She's the blonde, and she is the curious receptor.
Is that an official term?
Yes, it is. I trademarked
it
yesterday.
Curious receptor. I have a hard time believing the whole scenario because the women are too attractive.
Well, women find out that these guys who may not in the past have done well with the ladies, they listen to this show and they go, oh, they must be a cool.
Right.
Yeah. Suddenly I find that guy more attractive.
Yep.
And it turns one into a curious receptor.
That's correct. The Blackhawks provide the most likely scenario for lesbianism. I agree with that as well.
And why is it now that the Blackhawks are...
Well, I think it would be the biggest win, and the biggest win leads to the biggest pony, and the biggest pony leads to the most lesbianism.
If the Blackhawks win the whole thing.
No, if the Blues play the Blackhawks, that's what
just
I'm saying.
Just playing the Blackhawks.
Well, he said the biggest win, meaning the biggest opponent
Thank
to take
you.
Down. He put some thought into this. Give me
Thank
a
you very much. Exactly. This is written out before we do the show. It's on the prompt. I'm reading
He's got the schematics.
Right,
show him the schematics.
I don't care for the optics.
Hey, guys, my wife's best friend's husband is a huge Sharks fan. What were your thoughts on their performance last night? Neil of Bastille.
Well, I think they came out ready to go. You know, this was a team that prepared well for the playoffs. You know, they've got some bumps and bruises at this time of the year, but they did, you know, what they wanted to do. I didn't feel like they were thrown off their game in any fashion.
Now, they fell behind late, but yet there they were.
Yeah. You know, sometimes if you give up a goal, you will fall behind, and sometimes it'll be rather late.
They have a good mix of young players and veterans.
They've got some kids. I like some of these kids that they've brought up. I've liked them all along. I think I've said that. And yet they do
Mike Ricci?
Have some players that have been around. Is he still there?
I think so.
Yeah, I like that Shark Club. There's some games I like them, and there's some games I don't like them.
What about their game? What's their game? Well, the Blues play a heavy game. What do the Sharks play?
The Sharks play, I call it, hockey. It's just hockey.
They have hockey sense.
Yeah, yeah. They just make hockey plays.
Nice take.
Tim, do you need any free rides today? I'll cancel my surgeries. My nurse had scheduled for me today, and I'll leave Barnes to come pick you up in my Porsche. Thanks. Let me know, the Franklin County Kingpin. I do have to drive down to Columbia, and I'm not happy about that. 2 hours, a little too long in the car. Little bit.
You don't have to drive, right? You're in the back seat.
I should be.
You actually have to drive a motor car.
Thank you, sir.
You don't make your wife drive so you can play online poker.
I'm kind of thinking about it.
First
I feel
of
like
all,
it should be in play.
There's the issue of you just getting into the car because
well,
it is a very
thing.
Large SUV.
It's a whole thing.
And I had the picture of the day that the cat had to help
lift me
into it.
Lift me up. That's why I have to keep tight and rewarding because I know I have to be lifted into the vehicle.
Why don't you
proper.
Use that Movers that moved out inside STL?
Oh, Dodge Moving and Storage.
You could put them on contract to show up and move you
move
into your
in.
Car.
But I'll be taking an Uber when I'm inside Columbia proper tonight.
Mm.
That's the best. I mean, that's a game changer for boozing.
I'm still
now.
Scared. I haven't done it myself. I've been
so
part
easy.
Of it.
Once you do it, you'll be like, oh, that was stupid. That was easy. It took me 10 seconds.
And you have to punch in where
you're
going.
Unless you're in Miami and it's no habla español.
So, for example, you want to get back to the hotel after a ball game. You have to punch in the address of the hotel. You have to have that information. You can't just
usually it can pick it up by your location, but you got to double check it because sometimes it gives
you
the wrong location.
You can't just say La Quinta.
You can say La Quinta.
Why don't you just wander around the stadium and say, hey, anybody leaving the ballpark? And maybe someone will give you a ride.
Because that wouldn't get me a free meal.
Tim, I'm headed to the lake this weekend. I could drop you off on the way. Thanks. It's from the 314. What do you go to Kingdom City and then head south, right?
Left.
63? Is that 63, nurse? 54?
No, that's 54.
I still remember it.
63 cuts right through Columbia, Jeff City,
Columbia. I haven't
Columbia,
been to Columbia in 6 years.
Really?
The
Boy,
TJ
they're
Miracle
excited.
Game. Bursting, I would imagine.
It's bursting at the seams. With new construction and the town is going crazy. But they're doing everything they can to destroy that now, of course.
By doing what?
Well, what happened last October has had a major effect on the university. Major effect. I mean, their enrollment, they think, is down. The people that are applying for next year, it's down like 15-20%.
And revenue is way down.
Yeah. And the police are going crazy, hassling the kids on the street, giving them MIPs, and they stand outside the bars and just arrest them, you know, dozens at a time now. That didn't used to happen.
Well, I can tell you this. At the Cardinals home opener, I saw the governor, and he pulled me aside, and he said, we're off the record, but I'm hearing that Tim might be returning to Columbia.
And there was a...
Governor knew.
There was a palpable buzz in the air.
Yeah.
His security guys were like, and they started, like, talking to each other on the walkie-talkie.
Oh, I bet they did. Yeah. They'll have to ramp up some security.
Governor and his security team apparently lemmings for Tim.
And they might even be curious receptors.
Oh,
wow.
I like that. I will be creepy old guy at the bar. That's what I will be this evening.
What, no, not if it's parents' weekend. You won't. There'll be a lot of other parents there.
Can't you just go to an Applebee's or someplace where you don't feel so out of place?
No, I hear tell that they're having a happy hour at the Heidelberg, which I used to go to. It's right across from the J School.
I'll say J.
And I'm looking forward to seeing this stuff. I haven't seen it in so long. I mean, when I was there in 2010, we were just there for that game, so I didn't see the campus. I hear the Sigma Chi house is now like a Ritz-Carlton. I mean, it was a hellhole when I was there.
Was it?
Yeah. These frat houses now are like insanely beautiful, which totally goes against what we existed in.
The Beta house they rebuilt for $14 million.
Where did they get the money for that? My fraternity didn't have two nickels to rub together.
Well, this
we didn't have a house mom or a cook or anything like
this
that.
This particular Beta house, one of the alums was Sam Walton. That probably helped a little bit.
And he's made like, what, $175,000 a year?
Yeah. They have some wealthy people that have gone through.
I can't even
there.
Imagine being in a fraternity where it's like, okay, dinner is served, and you eat as a group in your fraternity house, and someone serves you the
Our
food?
Cook was also our bookie.
How about having the type of disposable income where when the fraternity calls, you say, sure, here's $1 million. Wouldn't that be fun to have that?
The house we had, it was so in this, the entrance to the place was full of broken bottles and cans where you had to jump over it to get in the house.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then they tore it down.
Guys, they closed 4 or 5 freshman dorms alone just because of enrollment issues. That's Juan, PP Corp.
Yeah, some are not even going to open. This last year, they had 1,000 incoming freshmen that had no place to stay. Imagine being 18 years old, going off to college, and the school tells you, do your best, find an apartment somewhere in town. You got to drive into school, you got to figure out how to park. No place to stay on campus.
But you signed up for campus housing and they didn't have it? Or
no, and that didn't affect my kid, but that was out there, 1,000 of them that they allowed in. Now this year, because of what happened in October, people saying, I don't think I want to go.
Guys, here Doug goes with his double standard about entitled college kids not having to follow the rules. It's the Barnhart Brawler. He is just in your craw.
Yeah. Who among us in college didn't have a few beers at a party? Anybody? Anybody out there?
I didn't.
And now
that
they
was
are,
against the rules.
Yeah. Now they are arresting them. I think it's part of the problem that they've got going there now with the enrollment. I mean, they're really hard on them.
So anyway, Tim, you go to Applebee's right. Where the other old folks are, and then you don't feel so out of place.
Yeah, I mean, I feel a little weird.
You won't.
I won't?
At a
really?
Parents' weekend, there'll be many, many parents there.
Will I be the youngest parent?
Probably. Maybe. Maybe.
Anna Marie will, for sure. On a female side. I don't know.
Can you get you some potato skins or something?
I've been to a few of those. It doesn't feel that bad because there's a lot of parents. And the kids know that that's where the money comes from.
Oh, so
they don't care.
Yeah.
If you're there just a night or two, that's fine. They certainly wouldn't want you there long term. Just turn over the money, please. Okay, we're having a good time. Okay, time for you to go home. See ya.
Yeah, but I'm not the real parent, so I want to participate in debauchery. So I don't know what
you
kind
do.
Of... Well, of course I do.
So, what do you think has more alumni in right around the St. Louis area? Missouri or Geneseo State? You think it's close?
It's Ace King versus Queens Pre.
Yeah. Well, that was a perfect analogy. I was going to say Queens Pre.
Derp.
But you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, toss up. Geneseo State, Missouri. Toss up.
Guys, the food at my fraternity house most of the time still had the whip marks on it where the jockey was hitting it. Thank you. It's from the 314.
Yeah, there's a lot
still
of mystery.
Still, it was food.
A lot of mystery meat.
I mean, it was a big deal that we had the refrigerator and then... Of course, I'll tell the story again. What would happen is that everyone would eat everyone else's food. So one guy came up with the brilliant idea to put a note that I rub this on a certain area.
Ooh, shrub.
That would keep everyone away. And then, of course, someone immediately wrote on there, I did too, meaning the guy who had the food now wouldn't want it anyway.
Sure.
So no one ended up using the refrigerator at all. Because
well,
you couldn't
that's mean-spirited.
Trust because it was children.
It's mean-spirited.
So, if you in your fridge, you could put something in there and no one would touch it.
I don't remember having a fridge. I didn't have a fridge in my room.
I'm talking about one of those little small fridges, you know, like a little small fridge.
About the main kitchen.
We had a pretty
proper.
Big kitchen, and if you missed a meal, I think they would put out a plate. I think. I didn't miss many meals.
Tim, you're going to be the hottest dad there. Thanks. It's from Bubbles.
I don't think there's any question about that, Tim.
Clip that off.
Do you wear a bow tie to class? It seems like you would
no,
be.
No, never once.
Bow tie?
With a little
Why
book
would
bag?
I wear a bow tie to class? Just picture you like all buttoned down, and you don't miss a meal at the fraternity house.
No.
And you tuck your napkin into your shirt.
I don't miss many meals anywhere.
Wait for the house mom to serve you the beef stroganoff. Thank you, man.
The house mom was always escorted in, and no one could sit down until she sat down.
Look at the gentleman at the Sigma Nu house.
That's what I mean.
Old Mom Moldahill.
And you were all wearing bow ties around the dinner.
Didn't have bow ties. Heaven forbid people show some manners. That means they probably wear a bow tie.
One fraternity member, Skeeter, caused a stir when he snuck in a wine cooler.
Mm.
He all took a couple of sips.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you were straight-laced.
Mm-mm, well, whatever.
Thank you, ma'am, for the beef stroganoff.
Kind of a good question here. Doug, you ever fondle yourself while you're on the set?
Who was it, Tim?
It's from a 636.
You didn't need
did
that one.
Did you take
one?
My suspension pencil?
Yeah, I did.
It was from who now?
Suspend Tim for that.
636 has been suspended. Suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name just went into the Ragazzi suspension logule.
I took the pencil because I wanted to write down the questions for the Lakeside Roofing exit poll.
You just wrote them now?
I did. Yeah, I actually did prep.
Just cannot believe the exit poll.
I don't like this open.
This is the Lakeside Roofing exit poll.
Just like any other poll, it has its range of error one way and the other.
We're stateside, baby.
For 40 years, lakesideroofing.com.
This exit poll.
We don't need the Brits.
I will publicly eat my hat.
This is America, Jack.
We got Simon Cowell doing the
Cleo
intro.
Cleo McDowell. Wardam Redhook says Barnhart Brawler can take a hike off a mountain. Really pathetic soul. I'm with Doug. Doug, that's Wardam Redhook.
He is kind of just an angry, I'm offended by everything guy.
Oh, I think he's playing
far left
now.
Wing. I'm offended by everything.
You're offended that he's offended.
No, I really could care less what the Barnhart Brawler feels.
Why don't you fight him outside of Starbucks?
Well, he's busy with the bull.
Tim, there's a dad auction at Harpo's. Bid on a night of dancing with a hunk of a dad this evening. Do they do those? That's from the Dogtown.
I don't know. I don't know.
Would you bid, Tim?
I would.
You might.
Yeah.
You'd bid on another dad?
Well, of course.
Or you'd be one of the dads that they're bidding on to dance with.
I'd like to be able to have my pick, so yeah. I would want to be the bidder. Yeah, that's fun. I wonder what time that is.
I don't know.
I'm surprised they do that.
You would most certainly be a curious receptor.
This dad role for you is going to be a little different because Doug knows this because he's got many children. I have the one. But your needs come last. So if it's like, where are we going to go eat? You go to the place where you think your kid might eat something, right? It has nothing to do with what you want. And so you're going to have to make that... sacrifice and not get your way on everything.
Oh, I think I'm synonymous with selflessness.
Yeah. So you will get your way.
I want sushi, and that's what we're having, okay?
Alexis, that's enough. The blues are on. That's the way we're going to handle it.
Okay.
Isn't that the way you handle it?
Well, Alexis, it's great being here, but please don't speak to me for the next hour. I'm watching the game and eating my sushi.
Right.
She'll be so thrilled that you're there when you start scolding her because she can't... go to the restaurant she wants to go to, nor can she watch the television presentation that she would want to.
Isn't that how it works as a parent?
Yeah, well,
I thought it'd be fun to go to Booch's and maybe... We're having sushi, okay?
Sister.
Booch's doesn't have fries, so we're not going.
Doesn't every place have fries?
I know they don't have fries. At least I don't think so, but I haven't been there in 6 years. I don't know.
Okay.
They do have good burgers. Do you admit they have good burgers?
Yes, I've been there a couple times, and I don't recall them having fries.
They don't have fries.
If you got great burgers.
A million texts.
They got tots?
I don't think so. They don't have fryers. That's the reason.
What do they put with
their
burger?
Chips. I think that's a cop-out. If you're getting a good burger, you want some fries with it.
I don't want potato chips.
Somebody call in and let us know on the Booch's fry situation, but I think that's right, or text in.
I'm not a fan of the potato chip.
Doug, we asked this before game one, so I'm curious where we are on this. This is how the Plowboy became the Plowhawk. Results of the Blues Blackhawks series. Mm-hmm. You said Blues in seven, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Blues in seven.
The cat.
Hang with it.
Blues in seven.
I thought you said Blues in six.
Blues in six is what I said.
rights holder.
So you saw them win game one and you thought, nah, I'm going to push it back now.
I saw a few trends, but yeah, Blues and six.
I was on Blues and seven with Doug. The Plowhawk at the time was on Blackhawks in seven, that they were going to come into this building and pick the Blackhawks to win in seven. Is the Plowhawk knocked back there? Is that why you're looking?
Gone. He's left the building.
He doesn't want to answer the question. The hell does the Plowhawk keep going?
I don't know. Probably outside to smoke.
Not during the show. He does not do that.
At 10 o'clock, though, he's out there with Gardner and a man bun.
We're actually printing some emails. Well, a large stack of emails already in.
Well, we don't really need them.
That, if I could say, that's one thing I'm going to miss is the entertainment. Pure entertainment, walking out of the station and just seeing what's doing in that parking lot when the show's over. Because it's always something.
There is. This is the last time. Doug, this is our last Lakeside Roofing exit poll in this studio. 3 years. 3 years. Watch this. Regrets. I've had a few. But then again, too few to mention. I feel like I go off the rails right there. And I don't know why.
No, it was beautiful, Tim.
I go Blues in seven. I want to hear from the Plowhawk, but I guess he's just kind of shutting her down. There's the Plowhawk. Plowhawk, and now that the Blues have won game one, are you sticking with Blackhawks in seven?
I am. Like I said, we went up 2-0 in the same situation 2 years ago, and you saw what happened. So.
How do you feel about the nickname Plowhawk?
I don't mind it. I just ignore it. Let's just get this series over with. And
but your boss is now calling you Plowhawk.
But then you'll pick the Stars in the next round, and you'll be the Plow Star.
Yeah, I actually might pick that series.
Oh, no. And then it'll take the Kings in the next round. It'll be the Plow King.
You are such a laid-back
And then
guy.
When it's the Panthers, it'll be the Plow Panther. I see this whole thing happening, Doug.
I like that Panthers club.
Oh, come on, no.
You don't want to go down to Sunrise, Florida in June and play a hockey game.
No. Sure wouldn't want to do that. Nothing screams hockey, playoff hockey. Then a day at the beach in Miami.
Or Nashville.
Yeah,
Nashville's another place that screams hot.
Number two. Who goes down to Memphis or is DFA'd when Ruben Tejada is activated? Kind of a potential tough situation here for the Cardinals.
I don't know what they're going to do, but if it were me, the solution would be tell Tejada, no, these things take more time, and buy yourself some time by continuing his rehab with a minor league team or at the complex in Jupiter, because I don't think any of the guys that would be possibilities for them to send out would make sense.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think if it's possible to send Tejada to AAA, that's what you do. He may be beyond that, where you've got to DFA him rather than
I don't even
down.
Know what the draw Tejada is. I mean, I wouldn't activate him.
Well, the draw was he has major league experience, and you needed someone. Now
right,
they don't.
Right, I know. So, but then therefore you don't. So, but whatever. I don't know.
I
mean,
I hope they don't send Diaz down.
No, I don't think it'll be Diaz. I would think it's gonna. I think it's gonna be middle infielder. It's gonna be Garcia. I would think, but I don't know like that either because
he's done everything, and he is their best pinch hitter. He's their best pinch hitter.
Doug, question number three: what will be more memorable 10 years from now? These are two moments that you'll be seeing years from now that took place in a matter of 6 days' time. Villanova's game-winning shot, or Jordan Spieth's collapse. We still see Nick Faldo and Greg Norman 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we still see shots like Christian Laettner's. Lorenzo
I'll say Spieth's collapse, just because that was more unusual. Almost every year there's an exciting NCAA.
Yeah, but to win not
always
tour?
Not always to that extent. Not always to that extent. But there'll be other fantastic basketball games.
Not like that where it was a big
there
shot.
There will be other fantastic games. Maybe not to that
there'll
extent.
There'll be other collapses.
You ask me my opinion on this. I'm giving you my opinion.
Doug
the
is Spieth wrong.
Thing
it's
will,
Villanova. Doug is
Spieth
wrong.
Thing will linger because he'll still be around. He'll be around in 10, 15, 25 years, and every time he's playing somewhere is, oh, yeah, I remember that year he coughed up the Masters.
Why do you hate John Pannone?
He and I have always been sideways.
I think it's Villanova based on the way it ended, and because Spieth will be around, so will the NCAA tournament, and that will be brought up quite a bit. Too history will bear me out.
If Jordan Spieth's career begins to struggle, I think you will see that over and over and over again. because in that capacity it would add to its historical significance. But in the same sense, it'd probably be forgotten because at that point it'd be like, oh yeah, that guy was really good. Now he's 32 and he can't make a cut. But I think it would be. I think it'll be Villanova's shot. I think we'll just see it over and over again. And more. I don't know. I mean, it's a tough one. It's a flip. Doug, it's like ace, king, and queens, pre.
Queen, pre. Yeah.
Right, right. But Norman's, if it weren't Greg Norman, I don't think it would be as significant because Rory McIlroy collapsed in 2011, but he came back immediately to win the U.S. Open. So it's kind of like, oh, well, so if Spieth comes out and wins the U.S. Open or wins a PGA or British Open is here, I think it falls by the wayside. We haven't done it in a few weeks, or at least I don't think we have. And it's kind of been, relatively speaking to the month of March, quiet in politics, although you had Hillary and Bernie going at it. If the election were today, the general election, if the election were today, who would you vote for? And then my B to it, okay, in this Lakeside Roofing exit poll, is it's not who I would vote for, but here's who I think is going to be the next president. There's the question. So it's who would I vote for? Okay. But then I don't care. Right.
Doug? Not who would I vote for.
No, but no. Who you would right now.
Boy, I don't know. I'm hoping that the Republicans go to a contested convention and that they come up with a different candidate, and I'll vote for that candidate whose name we don't know yet. I couldn't possibly vote that for name, Hillary.
I'm hoping that name will be Joe Pesci.
It won't be Joe Pesci. I think Hillary will be the next president, which just sickens me greatly. I don't, for the life
of
me.
So you don't have anybody you're voting?
I don't get it.
Of the five, there's nobody that you're going?
I don't get it. What anyone sees in Hillary Clinton, I just don't get it. But I think she will be the next president.
I do too. And the more I watch what's going on now, because, you know.
But isn't your vote for Kasich? Like, if of the five, you would vote for Kasich? Isn't that right? Am I right on that? Or am I wrong?
Oh, I think I would. Yeah, if he's even a possibility. I don't think he's.
I think it's more likely it's someone we don't know. And I agree with that. I hope it's Joe Pesci. But watching Hillary with the superdelegates, like, it's like Bernie's neck and neck. No, she's got the superdelegates, so it's not really neck and neck. And then last night, Bernie was saying, I've won seven of the last eight. And then she's like, and I have a huge advantage in pledge delegates. And the way she was talking is like she knew the final score of the game.
It's rigged anyway, okay, so why are we
she's
going
to win, yep. And I think the Republicans should probably just go to convention and say, we abstain courteously, because they might not even have a shot anyway.
The cat, who would you vote for?
I have no idea. I don't like, I'm not, Kasich seems like the most rational guy. I have some problems just the way he's campaigned, because I think he could have been a bigger force if he campaigned differently and got into the mix a little bit instead of acting like he was above. You got to get in it. So I hold that against him. So I'm, like Doug, hoping someone
you hold it against him that he didn't get into the name calling and all that.
I didn't
that?
Say name calling,
but that's that's what it was.
But you have to run a campaign, okay? And I would have voted for him, but now he's less likely than a no name that we don't know about right now from the convention. And I think he had something to offer. I don't think he campaigned properly, and I think that's part of his decision making that I question.
In 2016, at least on the Republican side, it is an angry time, and so his style of politicking may not match with the time. Whereas in 2008, at least on the Democratic side, you had somebody whose oratory skills dictated hope, which was what the famous poster was, the right. Hope thing. So it might not match up for what the base of the Republican Party is feeling at this moment, which is, you know, his style is more polite.
But his thing was, woe is me. I'm not going to get involved with name calling, and I'm really the guy. And you don't have to name call.
See, I don't sense a woe is me. I do sense the latter part.
I watch his body language. I think he could have been a bigger factor without getting involved in the name calling. He just had to go out there and take it. I watched him in a couple of the town halls. I thought he did a very good job. But right now, he's not anywhere in the mix.
Chaps just came after you.
Chaps did.
And I think you guys were on the same team, so this is odd. Doug, you're a dumbass. Hillary will never be president. Trump is going to win the nomination and kick Hillary's ass. Chaps, for the record, a Trump supporter.
Yeah, maybe.
I think she's terrified to run against Trump. Not that she doesn't think she can win, but she knows it would be painful.
I would like to see a debate between him and her, and where he can put her down and say all the things that everyone else is thinking.
I would, too.
At first, it was really entertaining, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is unbelievable.
Did you watch last night's debate?
No, I didn't watch any of it last night. I didn't watch anything last night.
They were getting nasty with each other. I mean, that's just the nature
I view that as already done, and then I just went to Bovada to see what the odds were on all these things. And I'm surprised Hillary's only minus 700, and I realize those sound very substantial, but I would it's like I think the Warriors are minus 9,000 to be, which means you have to bet $9,000 to win 100 in their series straight up against the Rockets, like, the series win straight up, no spread or anything. So I would think Hillary would be like in the minus 3,000 to win the Democratic nominee. Not the general, but the Democratic nominee. It's almost like value, even though you're betting. I mean, I'm going to have to bet $3,500 to win $500, but crap. I mean, well, I got to be honest with you, it's kind of worth it.
The surface numbers make you think it's a fairly close race, but if you count in superdelegates and all that kind of stuff, it's a runaway.
I can't remember a year where it's even been close, where the leading candidates on both sides are just so unlikable. Just people that you wouldn't want to spend 5 minutes with. Just, oh my God, I have to look at this person for the next 4 years?
I don't even like Bernie, because I think you go to like lunch with him, and he's like, don't get the brisket, I'll tell you why.
Well, I think Bernie comes across kind of likable. I'm talking about Hillary and Trump. I mean, could you get two more unlikable people up there?
Bernie's tone is changing, because I think he thinks he has a shot.
For the record, to answer the question, I would vote for John Kasich. I believe it will be Hillary Clinton. That is what I...
I'll agree on the latter.
The general. I would be stunned at this point if it weren't, but I suppose something could wind up happening. I mean, whatever's going to happen in Cleveland is going to be something people will be writing. I think, anyway, people will be writing books and doing documentaries on. That's what I think.
If it's not either Trump or Cruz, they will. But they went through this with Reagan and Ford, and that's just how it played out.
I mean, and I was, when was that, 76, I assume, right?
I believe so.
So I wasn't around, or if I was, I was probably the same size I am now.
Because they haven't...
But I don't remember it. But Gerald Ford and Ronald Reagan were gentlemen, mm-hmm. I believe, think.
Yeah.
This is
And it's different.
Unbelievable.
And it's different because the convention rules have yet to be written.
But it's,
okay, I mean, they're going to do a fix on the rules for this specific convention, so who knows what it's going to be.
It's different because of Trump. That's why it's different. It's not just a different era or something. It's him who's calling people names and talking about the size of his hands and little Marco and Lion Ted. We've never seen anything, at least not in modern time. Maybe they did this 150 years ago when there wasn't much media covering it.
They would have duels with pistols also, so it wasn't so genteel.
Well, I don't know of any candidates that had
politicians
Aaron Burr
would have
got into it with who did Aaron Burr and Alexander
I believe
Hamilton?
It was Phil Donahue.
It wasn't
Phil
Donahue. No, this goes back beyond that. But it's Trump. He's the one that's brought it into the muck. I don't think the others had that in mind when it started. That they
well,
were
worked out
talk
well for
about
Rubio. That's, he did capitalize on that. Rubio did.
Guys, I know that tree hugger Barnhart Brawler is blowing up the text inbox right now. That's from Tyler the Midget. Doug, this is from the Barnhart Brawler.
Okay.
The cat, do you even know what a superdelegate is? They
no.
can and historically have changed their minds. Thank you,
superdelegates are like party insiders that don't have any rules to bind them. That I don't really understand. I don't understand the caucus process, really. I don't think many people do. There are different rules for some. They're taking the tally by hand. It's not
well. The fact is, it doesn't have to be legal. It doesn't have to follow any rules. The party can put anyone they want in there.
I get it.
Whether somebody wins the popular vote or not, it doesn't really matter because it's the party's nominee, and it would be legal to say we don't like any of these people and just put somebody else up there.
Let me ask this because I know you would never vote for Hillary, but what if it were Trump versus Bernie?
Part of me would say Bernie because his things will never get through Congress. The things he wants to do just aren't possible financially.
He doubled down on it last night. Hillary said in the debate that's decision making and honesty. That your plan, even the most progressive leaning economists say it doesn't add up. The numbers don't add up, and he doubles down that it will. And we're going to get the money from the rich.
I think Bernie's heart is in the right place. I think he's probably a good guy who is really trying to make things better for, his constituent. I think he really is. It's so far out there that I don't think it's possible to do the things that he wants to do. But at least he's not just an unlikable person in general.
He didn't look so likable last night. You go to lunch with him, he wags his finger. You should have gotten the tuna melt.
What I try to do, and it's so unfair because there's absolutely no analytics behind it, is I try, based on behavioral patterns that I watch during debates and rallies and the manner with which people conduct themselves and treat those that are around them, I try to then assess that and think, when it's all said and done and they're in the room by themselves after getting all of their advisors' feedback, who is going to act in the greater good? And oftentimes that's Republicans, and oftentimes it's Democrats. And that's why I thought with both John McCain and Barack Obama, we couldn't go wrong. I was very disappointed in the Sarah Palin choice because I felt like he went against what I think deep down he believed for the sake of trying to win. And that disappointed me on that. On this one, I feel like that would be John Kasich and Bernie Sanders of the five. But I mean, it's completely unfair because I can't base it on anything outside of intuition. But that's what I try to do, and that's where I would be. But if I were voting, I would vote for John Kasich. I don't know if I'm going to get that opportunity, but that's my reasoning. I think it will be Hillary Clinton, just because I think.
Would you ever vote? I mean, could you ever vote for Trump?
No.
There's too many folks like that. I don't think I could either.
I still think it's going to be hard for any Republican nominee to win the presidency the way the country is right now, because the Democrat is going to get 90% of the black vote. They're going to get the gay and lesbian vote. They're going to get the pro-choice vote. And that's probably 50%.
I disagree with that. I think the Republicans would have had a great shot this year had they had better candidates. Even Trump, even if you disliked him, if he would have just run a little bit different of a campaign. He's the outsider. He was generating a lot of interest with the independents.
No. He just weren't so mean-spirited.
Mean and didn't do his homework. I mean, if he had a little clock management, he could have run out the clock.
Doug, what a week it's been. Magical is the way some people have described it.
As the day is long?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, actually. You must have seen those clippings as well.
I did.
It's the Burley Cutlery Cuts of the Week.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Cut of the Week is brought to you by Bertarelli Cutlery. Visit them on the Hill, online at BertarelliCutlery.com, or follow them on Facebook or Twitter at STL9. Cut one.
It is our pleasure to welcome to the program Tim McCarver. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? I had no idea that Jim Hayes' nickname was the Cat.
Ha ha! Clip that off.
I love it.
Cut two.
Now I hear a voice. Who's that?
I thought it was the Plowboy, but it's not. Plowboy, what's going on? There's something going on. Doug hears whistles. I hear whistles.
Hard on the banks of the Mississippi.
Listen closely in this studio. I'm not quite for sure I hear anything.
We definitely hear something, though. This is fascinating.
It's not your computer.
We're like experiencing what the listeners are experiencing when they hear other things during our show.
Just silence yourselves for a minute and just relax and just feel. Can you feel the ghosts of the first pitch? That's what it is.
You think it's Weezer?
Cut three.
So Bubbles' girlfriend is the aggressor?
Yeah, oh, man. She, whenever we go out with them, she just looks at my wife and she's just like,
Cut that off. Really? Burley Cutlery Cuts of the Week material.
Man. Are you just making this up for Tim?
Cut four.
Guys, do shrubs grow faster than beards? Is there any data on that? Thanks, Milt Thompson. Huh, I don't know. That's actually kind of a fun question.
It isn't a good question.
I don't have a lot of shrub knowledge.
No.
Plowboy, what do you think on that? Plowboy, everybody.
Like from first-hand experience, I would say shrubs definitely grow. Because I have a lot of shrubs.
Okay.
It takes me weeks to get a decent-looking beard.
But you have wisps from your nipples.
Yeah. You can kind of just imagine.
Let's not go over this.
Cut five.
Well, the old blue barn was bloated with bluesers for the lid lifter. And they saw old Kid Elves buckle up his stacking pillows. And he reached for his paddleboard and his crab-handed oven mitt. And he snatched hot rivets. And he stood on his head, and he whistled a theme song to the Andy Griffith Show. And then he raised his paddleboard high in the air and yelled, "There ain't a hawk in this barn who can take this shutout from me." Backer was the only Blade Runner who sipped sweet cider from the scoring spigot. We win the opener, and the locker room is loose, thanks to 35 thwarts from the tender known as Moose.
Cut six.
I know a lot about Pennsylvania, and it's great. How's Joe Paterno? Are we going to bring that back? Right?
People actually threw themselves off the balcony.
That hole? How about that whole deal?
The part about abusing young children in the showers, is that what he's going to bring back?
Mr. Trump, before you go to the podium, maybe we just go over a few different things. Ah! I'll wing it.
Cut 7.
That is one fine bootay. I got to have me some of that. So my proposal for
that's
you,
what
Doug,
you said.
That's exactly what in my mind.
Okay.
I may have whispered it to my brother. So my proposal to you is if you could join me in possibly one last flingy before the ringy.
Ah! How can that be topped? This gentleman's getting married, but he wants to have sex with you before he does. How wonderful is that?
Very flattering, Doug, I'd imagine. Nice. Flattering, right?
Yeah. It's even creepier when they're standing right there next to you.
I feel like we're probably ripping off a little bit of Camo X's shtick, but
feels like that. Rex Davis used to do that way back when in the 60s. Yeah, he and Bob Hardy would get together and hit on each other on the air.
Bertarelli Cutlery, the sponsor of the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. Michael's Flooring Outlet has 4 great locations to visit. A huge new showroom at their St. Peter's location. What sets them apart? Their employees. When you come in, they will ask questions that others may not, and they'll try to find the perfect match instead of selling what everyone has overstocked. Michael's is great for everybody. They're perfect for the do-it-yourselfers, but also for the contractors. There are so many things that go into a purchase, but go to the others first, then come to Michael's. You'll see the difference. When you think of Michael's, think local. They've been local in St. Louis for over 20 years. They're in St. Charles County. They're in West County. They're in North County. They're in Darden Prairie. It's Michael's Flooring Outlet online at michaelsflooringoutlet.com. You know what we ought to do now is that email of the day.
Let's do it.
Well, we're giving away this massage. It's a 15-minute massage at Hydrolux Massage at Massage Lux. So here we go. Well, Doug. It's tax day, and JHE has advised that we file jointly. I'll use the Schwingo app you've been shamelessly peddling.
Nice.
I've got all of our W-2s in one stack and 1099s in another. Nice, neat, stackies. Only a few unknowns remain. Are you a six-figure jigga? Itemized deductions or standard deductions? Ah, yes, deductions. Who's big for you? Have you received your fantasy football winnings, or are they still trapped on that perplexing internet? Did you have a taste, small or large, of any sweet action last year? Thanks, the soon-to-be-audited Butter Squirrel.
Soon-to-be-audited Butter Squirrel.
Guys, did you see Adam Schefter's report about the Rams trade yesterday? Apparently Chip Kelly took a one-day position with the Titans and called Les Snead, really wanting those draft picks. There just wasn't much the Rams could do when Chip came calling. Right. Also, Mel Kiper is absolutely beside himself. He's desperately searching for a player that they just had to move up for and can't find a 5'8", buck 60 deep threat goal line back in the bunch. Now, if they'd got the second overall pick, there's a mauler of a guard who's a real road grader and maybe NFL ready by 2019. Also, so without any of those middle round picks, he's not sure if they can reach for a physical specimen receiver from Smoky Mountain State who thinks a route tree is something a GPS grows on. Slow clap it out, LA. Ram up. Matt, who bowls at Hanks.
I saw somebody tweeted yesterday that after years of trying, Jeff Fisher has finally made the Tennessee Titans a contender.
I enjoyed that tweet. Twiddle me this, Twitter me that. Back has found the back of the net. Elliott throwing bricks while Petrangelo gives the hits. Bortuzzo, Stastny, and even Steen 2. Crawford and Doug both give up their whole chippity bop bop ba. Another Tarasenko goal. Doug the Whistler.
Whistler.
Well, tonight is the night. Yup. After winning Cardinals box tickets for tonight in the email of the day monthly comp, I wondered who to bring. It was between 3 super cute dudes: Plops, Victor, and of course my stepdad. I had them all over to my cage and explained how I would choose my date. There was only one obvious way to decide: grab some straws, cut one short, and have them draw straws. Oh, that, and see which one can tongue punch my beehole best?
No.
This is all because of you guys. Thanks, Cucky the Lucky Dwarf.
Cucky the Lucky Dwarf.
So I wonder what the whole reason for the drawing straws was, if it probably came down to that punching thing.
I don't know what I was talking about.
Guys, Plops here. We've heard of people making a pilgrimage to the Blarney Stone in Ireland to kiss it in hopes of good luck coming their way. The spiritually thirsty may set out for the Holy Land. Then there is, of course, that Wailing Wall thing where the Jews flat out get after it. Is that what the official Hebraic?
It is, Tim, as far as
Wailing Wall, where
get after
flat out get after it. Is that in the Torah? We'll get after it at the Wailing Wall?
I assume.
Men, I believe a new sacred spot is about to enter this holy realm of wondrous destinations. The front window of your new studio is on Hampton Avenue. Twinks, boy pigs, and gay Catholic South County dads from all across the metro area will make the trek to visit thee. But there will be no stone to kiss, no wall to scream upon. No, there shall be a brown circle about the size of a softball painted about 3 feet high on the window looking into the studio. Men will approach the window, drop their pant, and mushroom stamp the window right on the brown circle. While doing so, they are to simply stare into Doug's eyes through the glass and scream at the top of their lungs like the Apache. Mm-mm. Doug answers by whispering the words, "And with your spirit." Then you step aside, pull up your pant, and let the next man stamp it.
No, stop with the mushroom stamping.
Misty Plops. Is that what's going to happen?
Misty?
I mean, we don't own that
plops.
Building.
I have a feeling we'll have to be cleaning it, though.
Howdy, fellas. Oh, I woke up this morning with a tingle in my undergarments, just like Wednesday. I can just see it all happening. Bluesies are going to make the Hawks ache, because we win when it's all at stake. Hazel Bakey finna rake, while Plowhawk is finna bake. Fresh batch of drugs, so we'll see timber fake, while Timmy chillin' with Hove and Drake. And oh, Dougie makes my knees quake, because of that bottom that you shake. Stay golden, Pony Boys. The poet, Harry Balchester.
Wonderful. The poet, Harry Balchester.
Morning, boys. With all this talk of Mizzou, I flash back to one of my most cherished memories at my alma mater. It was the night of the Slew Father Son Dance, but my daddy was in Thailand on business. I went to the dance stag, but my dauber was down. Suddenly, the crowd on the dance floor parted, and a velvet glove took my hand and led me to dance. It was Doug Vaughn. He sang, "I will be your father figure, put your little hand in mine." Oh, it's George Michael. You sing that?
I will be your father figure, put your little hand in mine. It wasn't me that night, though.
I will be your preacher, teacher, be your daddy, anything you have in mind. I will be your father figure. I will be the one who loves you till the end of time. It was a great night, but his pocket flashlight kept poking me in the thigh. Toodles, Jamie Moyers, Fancy Foyer.
Jamie Moyers, Fancy Foyer.
So I've been thinking. Yeah, I've been doing Doug, this is the Barnhart Brawler.
Oh, jeez.
So I've been thinking. Yeah, I do a lot of thinking. Tim.
He doesn't do much thinking. I think that's the problem.
Tim,
left wing.
Do I feel you pretty much only read my crazy left texts? Is this deliberate?
Well, you're sending them? What else do you expect them to read?
I try my best to send in a potpourri of texts on topics like sexual harassment of Doug, violence towards callers, lemonading and hot takes about soccer, but none of those get read. Correction, if they do get read, you rarely say they're from me. I feel like it perpetuates the brawler character of an angry liberal who hates Doug.
Yeah.
While that is partially true, it's not the whole story. Doug drives me crazy because he struggles with what I call facts.
Sure.
And I'm passionate about my views, but it's not what I'm all about, baby. Not what I'm all about. Wait, am I just not funny? Nah, that can't be it. It's your fault. Maybe this would have been better sent as a private Facebook message. Oh well. P.S. Shout out to the whistle. Hope everything went well. Do good, avoid evil. Barnhart Brawl.
Yeah. Facts are what get in the way of the far left.
And finally, sup, Blues, take two, Backus the Glue, Elliot Stonewall, Garcia Cy Young, Hazel Baker Ty Cobb, Meatballs Yummy, Noodles Floppy, Doug Sloppy, Cat Slick, Tim Sick, Horny Me, get it, got it, flock it, Flocky the Smurf. And that's what we have for the email today. Show me what you got, little mom.
I had two check marks on two emails, Misty Plops and Butter Squirrel. I think I'm going Misty Plops.
I'm going to go with Flocky the Smurf's little wrap up there at the end.
Misty Plops is just shipped the email of the day in a 15-minute Hydrolux massage at Massage Lux. Frank Cusimano is up next. It's the Lion's Choice famous roast beef sandwich handoff to Frank Cusimano and the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Get the soppins, get the fixins at Lion's Choice. Frank's up next for Kyle, for the Plowboy, for the Sea Monster, for Arthur Kevin, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and for Douglas Sullivan. I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.